So tonight I was going to give a talk on the path of happiness. The way that I think about this theme and this talk is as a reminder. The idea being it's a reminder that this is a path of happiness, that the Buddha's path is a path of happiness. I sometimes tell this story from years ago. I was on a retreat and I was really struggling, as was my habit on retreats. It was probably a 9 or a 10 day retreat, and I was struggling with the body and I was struggling with the mind. And at some point, probably in a Dharma talk, maybe when she was giving instructions, the teacher said, this is a path of happiness, you know. And it just completely shifted things for me. It was like, oh yeah, this is a path of happiness. You know, it's like I was so caught up in what was happening with my mind and my body and my struggles. I was so unhappy that I had forgotten that it was a path of happiness. And when she said that, as I said, everything really changed for me in that moment. And really on that retreat, I needed to be reminded that there is a path of happiness. And in being reminded, I was able to make an adjustment, point myself in the right direction, just like I got turned in the wrong direction or an unskillful direction. And I just remembered that this was a path of happiness and just kind of turned in that direction. And that's often just what we need to do, is just make this kind of an adjustment. Essentially what I did was I put myself on the path and just pretty much came right into a sense of ease, well-being, and a quality of happiness. So a lot of times, you know, we get off the path, or we veer off the path. And, you know, what is often required is that we just shift and make that little bit of an adjustment. We kind of turn ourselves in the right direction. It's kind of like when you come off the underground. I mean, this happens to me a lot in Berlin because I'm new here, but it used to happen to me in New York too. You know, and I lived there all my life. You know, you come out of the train, you come up the steps, and you're disoriented. Like, which direction am I going in? And then you find, oh, I'm going in this direction. And it kind of tends to be like that with the way that we just shift away from the path and then turn back to it. And just as in that story that I told, you know, where my teacher said, this is a path of happiness, and then of course I said that to myself, oh yeah, this is a path of happiness, what's often required just to make that adjustment is to tell ourselves that, you know, to tell ourselves that. It all starts with that. You know, it all starts with that. We put ourselves on the path, we orient ourselves to the path by telling ourselves to do that. You know, I needed to be reminded by my teacher, and we come to classes like this so that we could be reminded and we read books, but ultimately it's up to us to remind ourselves that there is a path of happiness and we can turn to it. You know, the Buddha said that all that we are begins with our thoughts. All that we are begins with our thoughts. So, you know, if we want to be happy, it all begins with that thought. You know, there is a path of happiness, and I want to be on that path. It all begins with that. If we don't do that, we're never going to get on the path. Never get on the path. I mean, there's work to be done once we get on the path, but so much of it is just turning ourselves in the right direction. Now, when we talk about a path of happiness, of course, that leads us to ask the question, well, what is happiness? What is happiness? And a good way to answer that question is to think about what happiness isn't. You know, and this, of course, again, is within the schema of the Buddha's teachings. And we like to think about, you know, there's the Buddha's happiness and then the happiness of the world. So we could say what isn't happiness or what isn't happiness. The Buddha's happiness is the happiness of the world. One of the ways that I like to think about what the happiness of the world is something that the Thai teacher Ajahn Buddhadasa said. It's the happiness that we look for in getting and being, getting and being. So, you know, it's the happiness that we look for in getting, you know, getting financial gain, getting money, getting possessions. You know, of course, this is what the culture tells us, right? Happiness comes if you make that money or you get that possession, you get that new phone, and you'll be happy. You know, this whole idea of getting also includes getting the pleasures that the financial resources and the possessions bring us. So if it's all the pleasures that are developed, delivered by the technology, a lot of the pleasure that we seek and a lot of the happiness that we seek today in looking for happiness and the happiness of the world comes from the technology, what's on the internet, etc. So, you know, and of course, this, it's up to us to look and see where are we looking for happiness. This is a really good question. Where am I looking for happiness? So again, the ways of the world are looking for happiness in getting and being. Being, you know, and it's an interesting one for me because I tend to think, well, I don't really look for happiness in getting so much, but I do. You know, I certainly do look for happiness in getting things. You know, and I think, you know, if I have enough money, I'll be happy. I mean, there is some truth to that. There is some happiness that comes from being able to meet our basic needs. But I tend to think, well, I'm not really materialistic. But, you know, this whole idea of looking for happiness in being is something that I have to really pay attention to. You know, being sort of like being somebody. You know, happiness in having notoriety. You know, having notoriety as a meditation teacher. Having acknowledgement, having praise, you know, looking for happiness in that. You know, that's for me. You know, I think, you know, I come to Berlin, and a lot of people, you know, one of the reasons why I like it here is it's not so materialistically inclined. A lot of people are artists, but, you know, there's that, and I work with a lot of artists in New York, and a lot of artists, you know, really struggle with that, looking for happiness in notoriety, in some kind of acclaim. So the happiness of the world is the happiness that comes from getting and being. The Buddha's happiness is the happiness of the heart. Is the happiness of the heart. So it's the happiness. So what's the happiness of the heart? It's the happiness that we know inside. It's not dependent on anything external. It's not dependent on money. It's not dependent on financial gain, it's not dependent on possessions, it's not dependent on external sense pleasures, it's not dependent on notoriety or praise or acclaim. It's a happiness that we know inside, that's there inside of ourselves, and it's a happiness that we're able to know when we take actions that are motivated by the heart. So, you know, we come to know the happiness of the heart, from there we take actions, and that's how we deepen into that happiness. It's really through the actions that we take. So when we say actions that are motivated by the heart, in our teaching, the Thai tradition, the Thai forest tradition, you know, the Thai Ajahn say that, you know, the heart is right here. You know, it's what they call the citta, and it includes your wisdom, your innate wisdom, includes the qualities of love and compassion. So the happiness of the heart comes from the actions that we take that are motivated by our innate wisdom and by love and compassion. So, you know, a good question, a good reflection for us, as I've already said, is asking, you know, which happiness do I want? Because it's really a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. It's not an easy choice, and we get confused a lot of the time, like I explained before. But it's an important question to ask because it really is going to determine where we're going to put our efforts. Am I going to put my time and effort in this life, which is short, into looking for the happiness of the world or the happiness of the heart? And it's not a black and white thing, you know? I mean, I always like to say that, you know, if you're putting 100% of your time and effort into looking for the happiness of the world, if you can shift that to 95, it's going to change your life, you know? And then you kind of work off that. All right, you get to 95, and then it's 90, you know? I mean, I'm nowhere near 100% looking for happiness in the happiness of the heart, but, you know, I'm kind of shifting the scales. I'm shifting the scales. You know, they're probably more on the side of looking for happiness of the heart, but I still have to kind of shift the scales. And it really determines, this is an interesting question too, in terms of like the way that we meditate. And I've thought about this a lot over the last couple of months since I came to Berlin, and, you know, it's obviously, it's a challenge to get started in a new place. You know, I come from New York, as you know, and you know, classes are filled with students, you know, and it's like, you know, really looking at what I'm going to teach here, you know, what I'm going to teach here. And, you know, a lot of people, not everybody, certainly in this place, not really so much, but teach meditation more as stress reduction, or people practice meditation for stress reduction, which is fine. The way that I kind of view that or interpret that is when people are looking to practice meditation just for stress reduction, what that tends to mean is that I'm not going to change my life. I'm going to continue to follow the ways of the world, but I want to be less stressed out in doing that. You know? Which is, you know, you're only going to get so far. I mean, you can cut down on your stress a little bit, but if you're going to follow the ways of the world, you know, that's a setup for stress. So, you know, the way that we teach meditation is, you know, you'll develop less stress, but you'll have less stress, but the way we teach it is so that you can follow not follow the ways of the world, that you can follow the Buddha's path, that you can know the happiness of the heart. But, you know, it requires a lot more effort, you know, so kind of my dilemma is like, well, should I teach more stress reduction? You know, it's like, I can't do it, you know? It's like, I can't, you know? It's just, I can't do it and be true, you know? I'm too far along to be doing that. You know, and if people come and they have less stress, you know, that's great, you know, and if people come for that. But, you know, what we teach is meditation in support of being able to follow the path of the heart. So when we talk about the heart, it includes our innate wisdom. So what does that mean? That means in the heart we know in a way that transcends intellectual knowing, which really won't bring about change. In the heart we know and won't bring about a change of action. In the heart we know what we're doing that's leading us away from happiness. We really know that, you know? We really know that, you know, and that could be something as very simple as like in the meditation you are, you know, chasing after thoughts about what you're going to do next week or whatever, you know? There's a difference between knowing intellectually that that's really not serving you in the meditation and knowing that in the heart. You know? And then, of course, there's, you know, knowing, having that kind of understanding on a broader macro level, you know, well, I'm doing this in my life and it's really not leading to happiness. This relationship that I'm in with this person is not supporting me in my efforts to know happiness, or what I'm doing in terms of the way that my work or whatever it is that I'm doing isn't leading to happiness. And in the heart, we know what we need to do. You know, in the heart knows that, yeah, staying with the breath is in my best interests. And ultimately, you can't really stay with the breath in meditation, or your ability to stay with the breath is going to be fully realized when you understand in the heart that it's in your best interests. That's why the Buddha said there's no concentration without insight. There's no concentration without wisdom. Because until you really know that it's not in your best interests not to chase after those thoughts, you'll continue to chase after those thoughts. So you have to develop that insight into understanding that chasing after those thoughts in the meditation isn't in your best interests. And that's the way we teach meditation. You know, that's the way we teach meditation. If I was going to teach stress reduction, I wouldn't probably teach that. You know? But you know, you really want to be able to develop strong concentration that's going to lead you to liberating insight. You need to develop insight into what you're doing in the meditation that's not serving you in terms of your ability to stay with the breath. So The heart knows what we need to do in meditation, but also in life, and it also provides us with really the fuel to do what we need to do, which is really the qualities of the heart, love and compassion. So it's the quality of love or metta in the heart that informs action that we take that's in support of our wish to be happy. So that's the quality, the attitude, the sublime attitude that we act with. If it's in the meditation, yeah, I'm going to stay with the breath out of love and compassion for myself. Or if it's in my life, I'm going to, you know, do what I'm going to, I need to do in terms of where I want to go and who I want to spend my time with and what I want to do in terms of work. I'm doing that out of love and compassion for myself and for others. The quality of love in the heart, it also enables us to transcend, because love is the antidote to fear. So a lot of us are afraid to kind of go against the ways of the world and to follow our own path and follow our hearts. But when we are connected to the heart, when you're really connected with the heart, it's not a problem, because you're connected with the quality of love, which is going to enable you to transcend fear. So we really, you know, as I've already kind of spoken to, we really learn to follow the path of happiness in the meditation, you know, in the meditation. You know, I always like to talk about, you know, we start the meditation by looking at, you know, what's the attitude that I'm bringing to the meditation? You know, maybe there's resistance. I don't want to meditate. We can see that, and then we just make that little shift. We remind ourselves, oh, this is a path of happiness. I'm doing this out of love for myself. And if you do that, everything changes. And the way that you do that is just reminding yourself. It's making that shift. Okay, this is a path of happiness. I'm doing this meditation out of happiness for myself. And then in the meditation, again, just what I was talking about, you know, you see yourself going off in a certain direction and you're involved with a certain pattern of thought, and then you just remind yourself, okay, you know, this is a path of happiness. You know, just reorient yourself and bring ourselves back. I'm doing this out of love and compassion for myself. But of course, you know, we learn that in the meditation. We really learn that in the meditation, but it's up to us to, and this will happen if we practice that in the meditation, it will begin to inform the way that we live. So even right now, you know, we're sitting here and, you know, the mind could be kind of floating, or the mind might not be so focused, or the mind might be thinking about something else, or the mind might be confused, and we can reorient ourselves, just shift back. This is a path of happiness. And just, you can just try that, just say that to yourself, this is a path of happiness. And you can begin to start to see the difference. Just by reminding ourselves, we shift ourselves back in the right direction. So, you know, it's like my teacher says, you know, you use the head to connect to the heart. That's the way to the heart. So the way to the heart in this moment is to remind ourselves, this is a path of happiness. Let me be here right now in this moment with an open heart. Let me be here and listen and sit here with love. You know, it's like we forget that it's a path of happiness. You know, we forget that there is a path of happiness. You know, when we just orient ourselves to it, doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what we're doing, you know, it's like that path is always there to us, available to us in any moment, you know, in part relatable to how much we've developed the heart in meditation, but we have to remind ourselves, we have to orient ourselves. I mean, I've been practicing long enough that if I just keep orienting myself to that, we just drift away from it, we bring ourselves back. So even in a class like this, a meditation class with the Buddha behind us and everything, we can forget why we're here and why we do this and what we're doing. So we just kind of shift and bring ourselves back. And you can see what that's like, and you can kind of play with this on your own. I mean, and it's a good way to think about it, playing with it. It's like when you reshift yourself, you bring yourself back. What's it like in the body? Well, what's it like in the body when you shift away from, you know, I don't want to be here, if it's the meditation, if it's the class, if it's what you're doing later on today, what's the body like when you're, you know, when you're in some, or what's the body like when you're chasing after the ways of the world? And then what's it like when you shift back and you say, you know, this is a path of happiness. let me be here in this moment with love. You know, you start to, just by saying that, the body starts to come into a place of ease and a sense of well-being, because you're connecting into your body's wisdom. Your body's wisdom knows that that's true. You know, the way that your body's wisdom shows you that that's true is by bringing you into a state of ease and well-being. It's like when you're following the ways of the world, when you get off the path, you contract, and that's the way your innate wisdom is showing you you're going in the wrong direction. We just have to learn to pay attention to that and see that. And we orient ourselves to the direction that we need to go in to find happiness by really looking at the body and see what the body is showing us. It's really what the heart is showing us. So we meditate if we want to meditate in terms of being able to follow a path of happiness, to be able to know the happiness of the heart. We meditate so that we can be in the heart, connected to the heart, and we can be sensitive to the heart. You know, we can be sensitive to the heart. The loving kindness meditation helps us do that, but ultimately it's the meditation, the breath meditation that we have just done, developing the qualities of mindfulness the way the Buddha taught, that enable us to be sensitive to the heart, to our innate wisdom, to the qualities of loving kindness and compassion in the heart. So I always like to say that, you know, when you think about the meditation is, you know, we live most of our lives in chasing after the ways of the world, which usually mean that we're motivated by aversion to not having the things that we want and desire for the things that we want. And those qualities of aversion and desire lead to the proliferation of thinking. So we tend to live in the head, in the thinking realm. Meditation brings us out of the thinking realm into the body, into the heart. So the Thais say, you know, when you have concentration, when you're in the body and you keep your focus in the body, your awareness just gradually converges into the heart. So the idea is the more that you meditate in this way that we're talking about meditating, your awareness just more and more just starts coming into the heart. So, you know, gradually you're just coming right from here, right from here, right from the heart. So in terms of finding happiness, we don't really think about what it is that we need to do, you know, because the thinking mind only knows what it knows, you know. The happiness of the heart and the happiness that we know from taking actions that are motivated by the heart, you know, that understanding transcends intellectual understanding. You know? I mean, what it is that you will be able to do in your life that will lead you to happiness, and you know, is for the most part really beyond your understanding, because it transcends an intellectual understanding. The understanding is in the heart, so we want to be able to be connected to the heart and let the heart guide us. So that's why when people come to me and say, well, what should I do in this situation? You know, should I do this? Should I do that? What should I do? I just get out of school. It's like, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Try to be present, meditate, and just live in that question and let the heart show you. So we meditate to stay connected to the heart so that we can polish the heart. But we have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep reminding ourselves and bring us back. Bring ourselves back. Bring ourselves back. This is a path of happiness. This is a path of the happiness of the heart. We have to keep reorienting ourselves because we veer off. You know, we veer off, we're thinking about the ways of the world, we're thinking about our jobs and relationships and all these things. The world is really noisy. You know, the technology takes us further and further away from the present moment, further and further away from the body. You know, so we have to keep reminding ourselves, keep reminding ourselves, keep pointing ourselves in the right direction. Keep pointing ourselves in the right direction. This is a path of happiness. There is a path of happiness. Because there is. There is a path of happiness. We just have to make sure that we're on it. So let's just close our eyes for a second.